Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I believe that there are diverse encounters and visitations that have happened this morning. Please don't forget it when I call people out shortly to testify to what God in this season, and then your testimony will be the next. Somebody say amen. Very, very quickly, I welcome everyone to this 14th day of Above Only Fast and to this impartation service. Your life will never remain the same in Jesus' precious name. Practical dedication to God, part 3. We started a journey last Sunday. This is the third part of that message. Matthew chapter 6. And in verse 33, it said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Because these are the things that the Gentiles seek after. Today we shall be understanding the same objective, the practicality of devotion to God, what it entails to be practically devoted to God. Before we go forward, there are two things I want to say very, very quickly. That is, dedication to God is a practical reality, not a mystical irreality. Is a practical reality. It's something that can be practically verified. It's not mystical. It's not an irreality. Second, is that dedication to God may be very demanding, but highly rewarding. It may be very demanding, but highly rewarding. And from last Sunday, we began to see the pointers to dedication. And if the media could help us just go through quickly, we did the first three in the first service, and the second three in the second service. We mentioned that dedication to God, number one, meant standing on the side of God. And number two, it meant placing God first in all things. And then number three, it meant commitment to God, or means commitment to God, against all odds. We went further in the second service, and it meant, number four, following hard after God. My soul followed hard after you. And number five, that it means living for God, which is living for Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Number six, that it meant going all the way with God. All the way to Calvary you went for me. We did all of that last Sunday. And whichever service you were not in, please listen to the message of the other service. If you were in first service, listen to the second. And if you were in the second, listen to the first. And you can also listen to all of them together, because the points were different. We're going to look at three more in this service, which will lead us literally to point number seven, I believe. And then three more in the final three in the second service. Now, first point for this service, and that's point number seven, dedication to God means jealousy for God. Jealousy for God. In Numbers chapter 25 and in verse 17 of verse 7, we saw a man by the name Phinehas. When Israel was mourning, because the people of God were committing both adultery and idolatry together. And there was a plague in the midst of the camp. I believe it was a man of the tribe of Dan or so that brought a Midianitish woman. While people were weeping before God, he carried this woman straight into the tent. Now let's read it. And he said, when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, he has turned away my wrath from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Somebody said, amen. What does it mean to be jealous for God? Number one, it means feeling what God feels and being moved by what moves God. A dedicated person feels what God feels and is moved by the things that move God. Feeling what God feels. Being moved by what moved God. Like what Phinehas did just now. Number two. It means refusal to be a victim of generational indifference to God. Refusal to be a victim of generational indifference to God. We live in a generation today where people are completely indifferent to God. When you talk about sports, they come alive. When you talk about the latest movie, they come alive. When you talk about the latest car, they come alive. When you talk about God, they fall asleep. Somebody slept from night till morning. And he's sleeping in church on Sunday morning. Do you understand? But he will not sleep before a 3-hour movie. I haven't seen anybody sleeping and dozing in front of soccer. Generational indifference. I'm here to see what will make me blink in a church service. Refusal to be the victim of generational indifference to God. Number three. Jealousy for God means taking a stand for God, even if it means standing alone. Taking a stand for God, even if it means standing alone. We live in a world where everybody wants to do what everybody is doing. A world of human approval addiction. A world of human opinion dependence. There are many who are human approval addicted. No matter how correct the action is, if people don't approve it, they won't do it. We live in a world of human opinion dependence. No matter how correct it is for them to do the right thing, they must consult with human opinion. Dedicated people are so rugged. They take a stand, even if they stand alone. When Phinehas took that javelin, he was alone. When David confronted Goliath, he did it alone. Am I communicating at all? They are jealousy for God. It doesn't matter what anybody around feels or says. That is why we have a shortage of really dedicated people on the earth today, taking a stand for God, even if it means standing alone. We have a few people who will stand up and say, look, you can talk about God or church, but not where we are, not here, not in front of people like us. Even when nobody. Number four, this jealousy for God means taking kingdom battles and matters personal. That dedicated people who are jealous for God, they take kingdom battles and kingdom matters personal. It is personal to them. It is not a general matter, it's a personal matter. Until people may ask, why are you taking this thing personal? David took it personal. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? First Samuel chapter 17 from verse 21. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left the carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked, the champion came. And then the next verse. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Go to the next verse. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who? Why is everybody watching like nothing is happening? He took the battle personal. There are occasions where we have taken battles personal on the behalf of the kingdom. Battle that was, I told you many years ago, on the campus when cultism was trying to come up in our campus where we were. I told you the story before. We had occultic people, cultic people came out and they were about 3 a.m. or so shooting gun in the air, and then they broke all security lights on the campus. Everywhere was dark. They were singing hallelujah. God forbid that Satan conquered their world, not our world. Hallelujah. God forbid that Satan is in trouble, not Jesus. And they were singing songs upside down. Everybody clung to their beds. Fear, dread, terror, bah, 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 gone in the air. Some of us were in our rooms. Now, between you, me, and God, I didn't know when the door opened and I was already out of the door. That is, I am alive and somebody is singing that Satan conquered the world and Jesus, you are in trouble here today. Unknown to me, other people from one or two other brethren from other places also found us. As people began to hear tonguing, others began to tongue. That was how we began to go in the direction of those who said, they are devil conquered the world. Let's see who conquered the world. As we tongued, they receded and receded into the bush. We took charge from that night till morning. Till daybreak. Charged everywhere on fire in tongues as they receded into the bush. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And then went from hostel to hostel in front of the blocks. If you were among those who said last night that Satan conquered the world, and you are not ashamed and afraid to identify with your Satan, come out now, let's talk. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We need a ruggedity. There is too much timidity today, and I'll talk about that later. We need a ruggedity. People are rugged for different things, but we need a ruggedity for the kingdom. I prophesy today a new wave, a new grace, a new mantle of unusual dedication is coming upon somebody. If you are the one, shout the loudest, say amen. If you are that one, shout the loudest, loudest, say amen. It means taking kingdom matters, battles and matters, personal. So you know, raw dedicated people. And number five. It means risking it all. Jealousy for God means risking it all for God. Taking spiritual risks for the cause of the kingdom. Risking it all. You take steps that look risky. Like the way Phinehas did. Like the way David did. In your dedication to God. It looked very risky. But you took the steps all the same. I see someone stepping into that realm. Jealousy for God is connected to zealousness for God. Jealousy and zealousness, let's say, and zealousness have the same root. In your jealousy for God, you are aflame with zeal. That is dedication. It is jealousy for God, number seven, or number two, one for this service. Number eight, it is the investment of life's resources. Dedication to God connotes the investment of life's resources on God, for God. The investment of life's resources on God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 3, David speaking said, he said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good, of gold and silver which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold and of the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the house with all the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? This was the extent to which David released massively into the dedication of the temple. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 20, Paul the Apostle speaking, he said, I have showed you all things. And how I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing. For the sake of the kingdom, I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. What is dedication in the light of the investment of life's resources on God? Number one, it means literally wasting one's life on God. Literally. I'll waste my life again and again on you. On you. There
to be wasted, Lord, on you, on you. What a good way to be wasted, Lord, on you, on you. People say I waste my life because I am serving you. They say that I waste my time because I worship you, Lord. People say I waste my life because I am serving you. They say that I waste my time because I worship you, Lord. Second verse. Like the alabaster vase, I pour out my all for you. Though some may think that's a waste, I'm glad to waste me on you.
Hey!
Like that alabaster vase, I pour my all for you. Though some think I'm glad to waste.
I'll waste my life.
I'll waste my life again and again.
Hey,
on you,
on you.
Hashiba gada gala gaya gada
gala.
There is profit.
There is profit in me wasted, Lord.
On you. What a good way to be wasted, Lord, on you,
on you,
on you,
on you.
What a good way, what a good way to be wasted, Lord, on you,
on you.
I
saw my life in your field. They say that I have lost my mind, but the yield of serving you spans and through me.
I saw my life as a seed in your field.
In your field. They say that I have lost my mind, but the yield of serving you
spans time.
Said to me many years ago, you carry Bible.
What do people who carry Bible amount to? This would be like 38 years ago. You carry Bible.
It's like, are you wasting your life? Carrying your Bible has made us to talk to presidents of nations, giving direction. That same person became a beneficiary of money from me to assist, put up his life. That same person's family is benefiting from me today, currently. If people have not said you are wasting your life on God, you haven't started yet. If they haven't said you are wasting your time, church, your dedication is still questionable. How many of you realize that Mary wasted her life, her youth, her virginity? Mary's wedding was destroyed. Marriage ruined. Every young lady wants to, this is my wedding day, this is my wedding gown, this is my wedding arrangement, all scattered. What? You shall give birth to a child without a man. How? I was always looking forward to the first night. I'm a virgin. Yes, your virginity will be lost through the childbirth. What are you talking about? Is that how you want me to live? Yes. You wouldn't have any wedding. You wouldn't have any regular celebration, ceremony. The Son of God has decided to damage that aspect of your life. Upon on top of that, you will become a reproach. Because people will be mocking. See that girl? They say, she got pregnant. They say, Uki Ambele. They say, angel. Wonders will never end. Angel, she hear angel get belly. God pregnant, angel. The father should better ask her well. When you read the Bible, you go between and just put yourself. How is the circumstance like? That was what Mary, she wasted her life, wasted her youth, wasted her spinsterhood. But see where the waste took her and took the whole world. Beloved brothers and sisters, we need to come to that point. Judas Iscariot said, why is this waste of ointment? What this woman, Mary, did for the master, Judas called it a waste. So you call it waste? Somebody is pouring her life for me and you are calling it a waste? Say, this that she has done, wherever the gospel is preached, it shall be spoken about. Take your seat, people. This is dedication. Literally wasting one's life on God. Number two, practically holding nothing back from God. Lord, I'm in your hands, holding nothing back. Lord, I'm in your hands, holding nothing back. Walk on me, O Lord, both in and out. Come for me, O Lord, unto your plan. Still I be come out, you have the word for me. Lord, I need your hands. Lord, I need your hands. Practically holding nothing back. Paul the Apostle said in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, he said, I have held nothing back. I have kept 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 nothing back. Practically holding nothing back. Number three is the decision to spare no cost where God and his kingdom are concerned. Is dedication. The decision to spare no cost. Spare no cost. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 3. If I spare nothing. When God came and asked Abraham to give his son, his only son Isaac, Isaac couldn't be spared. Spare no cost. Spare nothing. When the construction of the glory dome came, one of the words God gave me said, spare no cost. And I realized that whatever amount of money was needed was to be put into it. And when it was time for me to collapse two major accounts that had plenty zeros we've been saving for a long time, two of them, personal family account, collapsed, 000. One of them, the bank had to ask us to wait until the month end, begging us. I'm sure so that they are... month's record can be good before the money is withdrawn. We oblige them. Spare no cost. Once it comes to God, it is the decision to spare no cost. Number four, it is the release of life as a seed for the benefit of eternity and humanity. That is, your life is released as a seed. You sow yourself. You are not just giving now, you sowed yourself as a seed. It is the release of life as a seed. The Bible said, except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. And when it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Life as a seed. Some people, they look at us and look at me and say, what are you doing? In the morning, there is two Sunday services. In the evening, there is commanding the day midnight prayer. The next day, there is probably staff meeting and so on. And then, other things are going on. Books are being written and so forth. And then you are back again for healing and deliverance service. And then another program, and then another program, and then on Friday we have the vigil of night till morning, and then just on and on and on and on. What's happening? That is life sown as a seed. Am I communicating? Time, energy, resources. Till date, I am unable to take an offering if I don't have an offering in my own hand. From day one of this church, I have never said, we are about to do a construction in church or do this and that. How many of you can give this and that? I have never been able to do that without myself being in the forefront. If I say, how many people can give $1 million in those days? Then I am in front of that $1 million. I'm there. I will never call an amount I can't be at the front of. Am I communicating? And so, we are not just talking verbally. Life so released as a seed. Papa Yerevo call it deadly dedication. Deadly. Deadly commitment. And finally, it's more like the same. Emptying one's life. One's life's content as a drink offering before the Lord. You empty your life, you empty the content of it like an offering. That's what Paul the Apostle meant in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. I am ready to be offered. and the time of my departure. 2 Timothy 4:6. I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Another way to render it is, I am being poured out as a drink offering. Just poured out. Now, look at that. In the Old Testament, one day, David was longing that he wanted to drink water from the well of Bethlehem. How many of you remember that? I want to drink water from the well of Bethlehem. And now, that there was a Philistine garrison, a military battalion detachment that was in between where David was and the well. And there were these three mighty men that said, Master, you want to drink the water? You will have it. So they fought their way, put their life in danger, wasted some enemy forces, only to go and fetch water. Yes, sir. You are a soldier, man, so you understand. Read it again. Back up. And David longed and said, oh, that one will give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistine, maybe shooting with both hands, general purpose machine gun. They broke through the host of the Philistine, drew the water out of the well of the Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it. They fought to go and get the water. They fought to return back with the water. When they brought it to David, David looked at it and said, you mean I should drink this water? The thirst has died. And David took it. And nevertheless, he will not drink it thereof, but he poured it out to the Lord. Look at what he said in verse 17. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. This is no longer water, this is blood. Is this not the blood of the men that put their life in jeopardy? Therefore, he will not drink it. He poured it as a drink offering. That's what it means. Deadly dedication. Life poured out as an offering. Poured out. You pour out your life. You pour out your time. You pour out your resources. You pour out your energy. You pour out your ability. Deadly dedication. Church goers are plenty, but dedicated people are few. Church members are plenty, but committed people are few. Emptying your life's content. Beloved, God is giving us a call this year. That is why we are receiving such intensity of word at the year's beginning. Because He's set to do something. And finally, for this service, dedication number three. For this morning means rigid devotion to God. Rigid. Rigid. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 1 to 2, you will understand what I mean. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, that was a rigid. He went in unto them and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. That's called rigid devotion. As his manner was, he had a manner that was definable. Now, what does it mean first? It means first existing as a person of definable routines and schedules with God. Definable routines and schedules with God. You have a routine that can be defined. You have a schedule that can be defined with God. Wesley that he woke up every day by 4 a.m. He will drive on, ride on horseback. He will pray like between 4 and 5, and then ride on horseback between 5 and 6, preaching in circuits. And then walk from that 6 till 10 in the night. And this schedule was for 60 years. The Bible, the biographer said that his routine was as rigid as the sun. Like, you know when the sun will rise and you know when the sun will set. That was how it was. Paul had a manner that could be, that was divine. As his manner was, it takes manners to matter. What is your manner? What can be predicted about you in your relationship with God? There are those people who tell you, if it is service day, forget it. You will never catch him anywhere other than church. Rigid devotion to God. Number two, that is existing as a person with defining routines. Two, it is being known. With a definite manner, pattern, or habit with God. You are known with a definite manner, pattern, or habit with God. Not just that you have it, but people know you with it. Known with a definite manner, pattern, or habit with God. That was the case of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. You will not find anything wrong with Daniel except it pertained to the law of his God. They knew it. If you want to fault Daniel, say something about his God, about his church, about his... If you want to fault him, then you get it. Be known with a definite manner, pattern, or habit with God. People knew know your prayer schedule. They know your prayer pattern. When I was in medical school, I woke up about 3 hours before class to pray between 1 and 3 hours every day. 1 hour to 3 hours every day before the 8 a.m. class. When it was 12 noon, that was break, I had another schedule with God before 1 o'clock, that is the next class. It was just like that. It was non-negotiable. Fasting and prayer was once every week. No food crosses the mouth. When I got into relationship, it became twice a week. That was an established schedule. Hallelujah. Number three, it is making, when we talk about rigid devotion, means making yourself to do what is required in order to see what is desired with God. You do what is required in order to see what is desired with God. Abraham woke up early in the morning. Genesis chapter 19 and in verse 27 to the place where he stood before the Lord. He had to wake himself up in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Making yourself to do what is required in order to see what is desired. Summary, it is walking in discipline to enforce devotion. Walking in discipline to enforce devotion. With God. There is nobody who can have a devotional life that is not disciplined. Nobody. When you are to pray, when you are meant to pray, to study the Bible, like you are to study the Bible, to evangelize and do all this, there is nobody who can do it without discipline. You discipline yourself. You make yourself do it. Fourthly, It is towing the path of hardness instead of the way of ease. In your journey with God, towing the way of hardness instead of the way of ease. In your journey with God, the way of hardness. I didn't say hardship. It's not hardship. There's a difference between hardship and hardness. Hardship is referring to suffering. Hardness is referring to toughening. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3, he said, endure hardness. Endure hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord. Soldiers are hardened. They are hardened by a lot of intensity of things. That is, you harden yourself. You harden yourself. Rigorous hardening. We have a lot of people today with the spirituality of ease and convenience. They follow the path of least resistance. If it is not convenient, they are not there. If it is not easy, they are not there. Spirituality of ease and convenience. Amos chapter 6 verse 1 say, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. In the year of 1979, when I did my first 3 days dry fasting, no water. I drank water, but I vomited it on the second day, so empty of water till the third day. In those days, we broke the fast by 12 midnight. I told you the story before. One of the young men that was fasting with us that time, day number one, around 3 or so, bro, how far with the fast? Sorry, I forgot I have eaten. Please don't eat again. Ensure that you continue. Tomorrow, around 3 o'clock, bro, how far? Sorry, I forgot I ate again. He forgot and ate for 3 days. And it was a camp meeting. Everybody was camping in it was a secondary school location. He ate for 3 days. That guy's life never went well at all. Alcoholism, womanizing, children from different places. I pray that somebody here will embrace hardness of spirituality. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudness, amen. And finally, it is existing in the realm of sworn commitment. When I say rigid devotion, you are existing in the realm of sworn commitment to God, as if you are under an oath, sworn commitment. Something like, it's impossible for food to cross my mouth until the word has entered my spirit. Sworn. Have you seen Psalm 15 verse 1 to 4 before? Those are scriptures that many people don't read or don't understand. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness, that speaketh truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. There are a generation of people who swear. What they vow to do is hurting them, but they won't change their mind because it is a vow to God. He sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. My wife and I have never told the story of our long fastings, and I don't know when we will tell it because one day they called me And my nephew, who was working in the bank, he didn't appear at work that day till evening. Only for them to go to his house, break open the door, and he was down there, gone. They rushed him to the national hospital. He was in such a deep coma that he was, even if you cut him with a knife, he wasn't aware. I rushed straight to where he was. Called his name, no response. I became very brutal in this spirit. In the name of Jesus, answer me now. He opened his eyes. I called his name. He said, sir, I was on day number 8. No food. And that day number 8 was not day number last. I didn't say break in the evening. No food. That was the kind of day the devil brought such a temptation. Water, yes, on water, of course. I mean, nobody should be advised to do even more than 3 days or even anything like that without water. Water liberally. When he came back, I said, say after me. He repeated all the things. Lord, forgive me if I've committed any sin. All of that. And I, Jesus, you are my healer. By the time he finished everything I wanted, he slumped back into coma. But I was okay. Because the word has entered. Consciously entered him. Long story made short, he's alive today. Well. On his feet. Doing fine with his life. Married with 3 children. Was single at that time. Are you following what I'm saying here today? That is, you made up your mind that this is, I'm taking so and so journey. And there was, I am on a journey for so and so number of days and nothing will shift it. But I told you before that there was a time where I wanted to fast for some days and it was as if I had an ulcer that was going to, I just had to terminate the fast. So let me balance it in case you find yourself in such a situation. And it looks like your chest will not allow you to go. Just branch there and say, Lord, you know what? When I'm fully healed. So that nobody go and die for nothing. Your chest is paining you. You are vomiting. You have to say, I must complete the days. No. No. This is both spiritual advice and medical advice. Praise the Lord. This is what it means. Existing in the realm of sworn commitment. Time is gone, but Job was a man like that. Let me read some things from Job for you. Job will say things like Job chapter 23 verse 12. He said, I have esteemed, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary. That's, I have vowed that his word is more valuable to me than food. That's the realm we're talking about. In Job 27, verse 3 to verse 6, this is another realm of, he said, oh, this is more like an oath. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostril, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. That's more like an oath. Then Job 31 and in verse 1. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Why should I allow my mind and my thought to be overrun with woman thought? That was an oath. That was a vow. I have made a covenant. I vowed. I swear. It's coming to the point. where you are literal, you have literally sworn in certain dimensions. But look, if it comes to God, the money that enters my hand will never go anywhere until God has been honored, until God takes his part. I must greet God in the morning first before I greet man. I can't be, God cannot have a need and I have it and it's not met. This is the realm. I believe it's a new day. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet and lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Worship to your name. El Shaddai. Elion. Elohim. Elohika. Elohino. We worship you. Keren Yesha. Olamore. We worship you. We adore you. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Blessed be your name. Adoration to your name. Open your mouth and thank him. Honor him. Adore him for the words you heard this morning. Glorify him for what you heard this morning. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. We're going to pray these prayers very, very fast. Some people at the back of me. Lift your two hands and say, Father. Say it loud. Say, Father. I come before you today. In the name of Jesus. I come before you today. I ask for a fresh baptism of jealousy for you. A fresh baptism of dedication in the realm of jealousy for my God and his kingdom. I receive that fresh baptism now. Open your mouth and pray. 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 I come before you today and I ask for a fresh baptism of dedication in the realm of jealousy for you and your kingdom, Lord. Yes, I come before you today. I ask for a fresh baptism of dedication to you in the realm of jealousy for you, in the realm of jealousy for your kingdom. Fresh baptism of dedication. 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 Mana dalaya hasani. Let the rekesina gagana galalusa. Ekesi kutina gagalaha. Let the speruna hasani. Maka shanaga. Ekese kelina gahatasi. Let the rekese tika lagaya galalusa. Ite se prakaza gola. Lorate se divina. Ete se rekekato. Lorate se kefeta. Let us set a fetter side. Ika Gagaya Hazara. Let the retesetica lagada. Larutasa Kerikadia. Lord, the prayer to Sepinagara. Yes, Lord, I receive that fresh baptism. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father, I receive the grace, fresh grace, for sacrifice, to invest my life's resources for the kingdom. I receive that grace, fresh grace, for sacrifice, for the investment of my life's resources into the kingdom. I receive that grace, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. I receive that grace, fresh grace, of sacrifice, for the investment of my life's resources, for the sake of the kingdom. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Open your mouth and speak. Let
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lift your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I receive the grace of rigid devotion to God in this season. The realm of rigid devotion, of schedules, of habits that are good for the kingdom. I receive that grace for rigid devotion to God in this season. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray, man, and pray. In the name of Jesus.
Lift up your hands. I perceive that God is about to drop something on us. Lift your hands. I'll be in the mood of worship. Thank you, Adonai. Say after me, say, Father,
Father,
I receive the mantle,
I receive the mantle
of fresh dedication,
of fresh dedication
to you, O Lord,
to you, O Lord,
in the name of Jesus. Lay the hands high. Your hands high. Fresh fire, fresh mantle of dedication. Be released now. Lift your hands high. And side by side with that, the arrest of the arrow of sudden death. Monitoring spirits being arrested. The arrow of sudden death being retrieved and refired back to hell. The arrow of shame and reproach. Arrow of false accusation. The demonic spell of imprisonment. That demonic abdominal condition, intestinal condition. That chest condition. That condition of the brain tumor, seizure disorder. That spirit of cancer. That spell of delay. Broken right now. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are. and fresh oil of dedication, fresh grace of dedication, fresh impartation of dedication. That demonic force, that demonic destruction that is pulling you off from your commitment to God. Today is the end of it, Michael. God is visiting you in a new dimension, in a new way, and giving you grace to remain focused on Him. Lift your hands high. And when I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive. You are receiving a fresh grace and a fresh mantle to move in the realms of dedication to God. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3, I receive. Receive, 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 receive. Receive. Receive, 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 receive it now. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and give Him the praise. Give Him the honor, give Him the adoration. Father, we thank You because it is done. We thank You because it is done.